When my daughter Ellie was a senior in high school, she had one of the lead roles in the class play. The play was set in Cambridge, England in 1896, and it centered on women's struggle to be granted a formal university degree when they completed the same course of study as men. I knew very little about the play in advance, other than Ellie said her character was just like her. But on opening night, I didn't know what to expect. The show began as three young women stepped onto stage in tailored Victorian dress, bantering about their studies and about upcoming bicycle riding lessons. As the other actors joined the scene, I was captivated by the young women's poise and dignity, and delighted by the one who takes charge of this large antique bicycle and rides around the stage. After about 10 minutes, though, I was confused because Ellie hadn't appeared yet. So I whispered to my friend, "Where's Ellie? I don't see her." She looked at me oddly and she said, "Jen, she's the one on the bicycle." I didn't recognize my own daughter. Now, it could have been the English accent, but I think something else made me slow to see how naturally she inhabited this brave, autonomous character. I had some updating to do. And that moment has become a touchstone for me, a small but real life experience of how we can miss the fullness of another person whom we know well. Every year, on the last Sunday before Lent, we hear the gospel story of the Transfiguration. It's a tipping point in Mark's gospel, right after Jesus foretells his death and resurrection to his followers. The disciples shut that conversation down quickly, only to be told by Jesus that those who want to follow him must take up their own cross. So, 6 days after that sobering conversation, Jesus leads Peter and James and John up a high mountain. And when they get to the top, something happens. Now, the gospel is told from the disciples' point of view, and so you can imagine them recounting it later. "So we got to the summit, and like that, Jesus became someone else. He was so dazzling, you could barely see him. And then Moses and Elijah showed up talking to him like they were old friends. It was terrifying. And then a loud voice spoke out of this towering cloud, 'This is my beloved son. Pay attention.' And like that, Jesus was back to normal." Unbelievable. This story of Jesus' transfiguration resonates with the details of the stories of Moses and Elijah, prophets who also climb mountains and are transformed by their encounters with God. So early Christians who knew the Jewish tradition would have heard this gospel and understood Jesus as a witness to God's glory, just like those prophets who experienced the glory of God as blinding light or howling wind. Jesus would have been understood as a witness. And glory, of course, is another way of saying God's presence. So Jesus would have been understood as a witness to God's presence. But Jesus' transfiguration declares so much more. On that mountaintop, Jesus is revealed not only as God's beloved, but also as the one in whom God's self is completely manifest. So completely, in fact, that God's glory is Jesus' glory too. God's presence and Jesus' presence are one and the same. As Christianity has unpacked this story over the centuries, we have developed language for what is really an indescribable event. It is a theophany, God appearing to humans. It demonstrates incarnation, that God becomes flesh in Jesus and dwells among us. It foreshadows resurrection, the fullness of Christ's glory revealed only after his death on the cross. But for the disciples, there were no words, only awe and fear. Now, their fear is understandable. It appears their friend has entered into another realm to commune with the holiest of prophets. He is transformed before their eyes. The way the disciples recount it, they are passive observers of what is happening to someone else. But I wonder if that is really the full story. What if Jesus has been reflecting God's glory all along, but only now the disciples can perceive it? What if they have been traveling together, listening to familiar Jesus teach about Scripture and the prophets and the good news of a loving God, but all the while, not yet visible to his followers, Jesus abides in a dazzling divine light alongside Elijah and Moses? What if this is not a new thing for Jesus as much as it is a new thing for the disciples? In other words, what if the full story of Jesus' transfiguration includes the transfiguration of the disciples too, where their mental constraints loosen and their vision and understanding of the divine expand so that they can finally perceive that Jesus and God are one. And God is not distant from them, but in fact is in relationship with them. Pay attention indeed. But here's the thing. If this story is about the disciples' spiritual transfiguration, it is certainly about ours too. We prayed for just that in the opening collect today. Paraphrasing, O God, grant that we may see the light of Jesus' face, which is your light. Make us steadfast in following him so that we become like him, bearing witness to God's presence in others, and a locus of that presence ourselves in this world. That's what the spiritual journey always points toward. It is the grounding hope for all we do together as a community of faith. We desire to participate in God's healing of this world by our own transformation into the mind and heart and very life of Christ. The word for that is divinization. And today, we celebrate Jesus' transfiguration and pray and turn toward God, hoping for divinization for all people. A real-life example of this comes from Thomas Merton, a Trappist monk. He writes in his journal about an everyday encounter. In Louisville, at the corner of 4th and Walnut, in the center of the shopping district, I was suddenly overwhelmed with the realization that I loved all of these people, that they were mine and I theirs, that we could not be alien to one another, even though we were total strangers. It was like waking from a dream of separateness. I have the immense joy of being human, a member of the people in which God became incarnate. As if the sorrows and stupidities of the human condition could overwhelm me, now that I realize what we all are. And if only everybody could realize this, but it cannot be explained. There is no way of telling people that they are all walking around shining like the sun. Amen.